Cool.
I think the Lord would have us start with Psalm 53 this morning. The fool says in his heart, there is no God. They are corrupt and their ways are vile. There is no one who does good. God looks down from heaven on the sons of men to see if there are any who understand, any who seek God. Everyone has turned away. They have together become corrupt. There is no one who does good, not even one. Will the evildoers never learn? Those who devour my people as men eat bread and who do not call on God? There they were, overwhelmed with dread, where there was nothing to dread. God scattered the bones of those who attacked you. You put them to shame, for God despised them. Oh, that salvation for Israel would come out of Zion, when God restores the fortunes of his people. Let Jacob rejoice and Israel be glad. Please stand and join me in prayer. Father God, we thank you that we have seen the salvation of Israel, Lord. We know his name. His name is Jesus. We thank you that you put your Holy Spirit in our hearts so that we do not need to dread those who would fight against us and fight against you. Father, we ask that you would remind us of that on a continual basis so that we would be the courageous sons and daughters that you would have us to be. And now, Lord, let us bring you praise with our worship, Lord. Let us honor you with our words, with our thoughts. Let us learn from your word, Lord. Let our lives be changed. Let us become more of the body of Christ that we are called to be. And we ask this and we thank you in the name of our blessed Savior, Jesus. Amen.
Thank you, Lord. Amen. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord Jesus, Father God. We love you. We praise you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Isn't this a great day? Amen. We thank you, Lord, for creating this day. It is the day the Lord hath made, and we will rejoice and be glad in it. We'll be glad in him. We will be glad that we are alive. Thank you, Jesus. Blessed be your name.
Plentiful, where your streams of abundance flow, blessed be your name. Blessed be your name when I'm found in the desert place, though I walk through the wilderness, blessed be your name. Every blessing you blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be your name. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be your glorious name. Blessed be your name when the sun is shining down on me and when the world's all as it should be. Blessed be your name. Blessing you pour out all, turn back to praise. When the darkness closes in, Lord, still I will say, blessed be the name of the Lord, blessed be your name. Blessed be the name of the Lord, blessed be your glorious name. Give and take away, you give and take away. My heart will choose to say, oh, blessed be your name. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be your name. Blessed be your name of the Lord. Blessed be your glorious name.
You give and take away.
You give and take away. You give and take away. My heart will choose to say, oh, blessed be your name. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be your name. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be your glorious name.
Thank you, Lord Jesus. Father God, we bless your name this day. We worship your name this day. We worship you for who you are, for saving us, for dying for us, for drawing us closer to you, Lord God. Thank you that you made us King's kids. We thank you, Lord Jesus. This next song, this next hymn, Blessed Assurance, for those of you that heard this many years ago, I just want you to reach back in and remember those times of just worshiping the Lord with these hymns. Thank you and praise your name.
Blessed assurance, Jesus is mine. Oh, what a foretaste of glory divine. Heir of salvation, purchased of God, born of his Spirit, washed in his blood. This is my story. This is my song, praising my Savior all the day long. This is my story. This is my song, praising my Savior all the day long. Perfect submission. Perfect delight, visions of rapture now burst in my sight. Angels descending, ring from above, echoes of mercy, whispers of love. This is my story. This is my song. Praising my Savior all the day long. This is my story. This is my song. Praising my Savior all the day long. Submission, all is at rest. I am my Savior and happy and blessed, watching and waiting, looking above, filled with his goodness, lost in his blood. This is my story. This is my song. Praising my Savior all the day long. This is my story. This is my song. Praising my Savior all the day long.
Savior,
raising my Savior all the day long. praising my Savior all the day long.
Thank you, Lord Jesus. We worship you. Thank you. Oh, Lord God, that is our desire, is that we would praise you all day long. Lord, we get so caught up. We get so caught up in the trials of the day, the week, and we don't. God, forgive us. Forgive us that we don't do that. Lord Jesus, we do run to you this day. We look to you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Father.
God, I look to you. I won't be overwhelmed. Give me vision to see things like you do. God, I look to you. You're where my help comes from. Give me wisdom to know just what you do. God, I look to you. I won't be overwhelmed. Give me vision to see things like you do. God, I look to you. You're where my help comes from. Give me wisdom to know just what you do. To you, I won't be overwhelmed.
Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Father God. Oh, Lord Jesus, we praise your name. Thank you for being real this day. Thank you for being real, dear Lord Jesus. Thank you, Father God, for your love and your mercy and your grace upon our lives. In Jesus' name. And everyone said,
Amen.
Amen.
Okay, George, am I on? No, is it soup yet? All right. We'll give it a minute for our technical people. Hallelujah, God reigns forever. Wow, thank you, Jesus. Very glad you're here this morning to worship the Lord, to hear the Lord God, to fellowship with one another, to honor Him, not only with our lips, with our words, but in deeds and in truth. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. Dana, God bless you this morning. All right. Well, there's a couple things that I want to go over real quickly. Pea brain, so many things to remember. Okay, we're still missing some folks this morning, so I'll give this. Don't let me forget to give stuff away. You guys, help me. You know how ADD I am. So remind me, at the end of the announcements, just say, give stuff away. Okay, somebody? Okay. All right, so why don't we go into announcements, and then we'll just kind of zip you through this. No, Gary, okay, so wait, all right. Alrighty. Lights, camera, action. Okay, so first off, we have some delicious free Panera bread. Freely we give you the word of God, the bread of life, Jesus Christ, and we also want you to take the physical bread home with you as well. Be fed in your bellies, but more importantly, be fed in your hearts and souls. Now, we got a bunch of these for free. Someone gave us these for free. Isn't that nice? See these nice bags? For free. So, we have them back there. Okay, buy the bread. We've got tons of Panera loaves. Just feel free to take one, environmentally friendly. I really don't know. But you can reuse them, so keep them in your car. Take all the bagels you want, all the bread loaves you want. Take them with you, free as a gift in Jesus' name, and then just bring it back next week to get some more, and they'll be back there as long as there's some here. Here, congratulations. Okay, so that's number uno. Tithes and offerings, thank you for your giving, the tithes and offerings. We don't take up tithes and offerings because we don't want anybody to feel manipulated or cajoled or hassled or into giving. But there's a little bird box in the back where you put your tithes and offerings. And those of you who know the Lord and this is your home church, put the money back in the back. Freely we receive, and that helps us to be able to give things back and to help others to grow in the Lord. Again, just we want to encourage you guys to please pray for these new baptized believers really quickly. Love this picture. We just did this, was a few weeks ago now, so please pray. Look at each one of them, see their faces, okay? And just pray, help them to grow, encourage them, whether you sit and pray for them, we encourage them to go into a Bible study, you just talk to them, you just listen to them, pray. Because it was a great time. And so keep them in prayer so the enemy roots them down deep in his heart, his word, and his spirit. Also, we'd like you to pray for this lovely bunch of kids. They just got back yesterday, some of our kids from here at the church and here at the school. So we've got Asdaleen and Skylark and Jonathan and Hezekiah and Nehemiah and Soph and Olivia there. And so they were all at one-day missionary training with Christian Youth in action. And so pray for them as God's training them up to share the gospel with other folks. If you see them, just say thank you for investing their time. Pray for them. I think that was in Fort Myers. Is that right? Okay. So Pastor TJ, Sherry Brower usually comes out here with Children Evangelism Fellowship. Pastor TJ is actually going to be out here next week to share about that. We want to invite you out. We love what God is doing in that prayer group. And so I just want to encourage you guys to come to prayer 9 o'clock, 9:15 roughly, here at church. We're so thankful. If you're part of that prayer team, thank you, thank you, thank you for being the fire that fuels what goes on here. Thank you for just being dedicated. Thank you for your prayers before the Lord. But we'd like you to join us. Now, next week, Gary will not be here. So I think he's probably got, well, either Heidi and Joel or Mark. Heidi and Joel, okay. So, I don't know. He'll be in Israel or something. Whatever, blah, 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 some excuse. Anyway, so next week, invite you out every single Sunday morning to pray. We have a couple of announcements. Oh, I put this one first, even though it wasn't supposed to. Doggone it. Oh, well, too late. Okay, so we have women's Bible study on the second and fourth Tuesdays at Here at Home Fellowship Church. They're going to be going through a Bible study called Living Beyond Yourself, Living with the Empowered Fruits of the Holy Spirit. Do you want to say a few words? Do you want to come up here? I know you don't like that, but why don't you grab the mic and come up here anyway? And I'll just sit and be quiet.
I'm a weaver. They're all hands. So, Living Beyond Yourself, I'm so excited about this. This is an 11-week Bible study. And the cool thing is the ladies group is making a few changes. We've added Florence as our leader as well. Stand up so everybody knows who you are. Full of wisdom, full of life experiences. I think that she said at one point, I hope you don't mind in saying this. I think she said, well, I don't think that anything that could come up is nothing that I have already experienced. So she comes with a wealth of experience and amazing knowledge and of God's word. So I'm excited. So Living Beyond Yourself is a Bible study about an in-depth look of the fruits of the Spirit. So there are 9 fruits of the Spirit, and Beth Moore is going to take us through each fruit of the Spirit in depth. Now, we can order workbooks, and we're going to talk about that, but I do have a sign-up sheet in the back, and if ladies are here that haven't signed up for it and you think that you are coming, please sign up because we do need to get those workbooks ordered. They are $15, $15.99. Okay. And it is a 5-day study, very similar to Experiencing God, but I don't think it's as intense. So if you want to just come and watch the video each week and kind of be in on the discussion, you may do that. You will get more out of it if you get the workbook and put some time into it. So I would definitely encourage you to do that. So the sign-up sheet is back there. Thank you very much. Sorry, one more thing. We are going to 2 Tuesday nights instead of once a month. We're going to every other. So we're going to be the 2nd and the 4th. Remember, ladies, the evens. Tuesday nights of the month. So, and it's starting at 6 p.m. Yes. Yes, it was wonderful. Thank you to Pastor. Okay. Thank you to Pastor Darren and Gary and for the, you know, leaders of the church for allowing us to do that. It was a wonderful time. Ladies got to chatting, got to have coffee, got to know each other, I think, a little better. So it was fun. Oh, yeah, there's a picture.
There's one of the tables there. Aren't they cute? And there's one more right there. Isn't that so cool? So we're so glad you guys, I heard everybody, I've got multiple texts just saying, thank you, oh, it was so good. Wonderful. And awesome. So everybody had a blessed time, so I'm so glad that you ladies were able to do that. And I really want to encourage you, sign up, ladies, for that teaching. You know, if you are born again, if you have decided to give your life over to Jesus Christ and you're saved, man, make the most, Scripture says, of every opportunity. Here's a Bible study that's going to help you to develop the fruits of the Spirit, letting God just change your heart and life in ways that people will notice. Fruit is something that people see, right? And what does the fruit have inside of it? We just talked about this Thursday. Seeds of life, right? As they see that fruit, they say, hey, that's something I want. I'm going to take that fruit and I want a piece of it myself. So I would encourage you to take that Bible study. If you don't have $15, okay, we're not a rich church, but if you don't have the $15 and you want to do the workbook, we, this church, this body, will give it to you as a gift in Jesus' name. So if you can, please pay for it. If you can't, we'll just do it anyway because we love you. And I appreciate everybody thanking me for the Cracker Barrel and Gary. But really, can I just show you need to really need to thank? Just look around you. Everybody who gives faithfully every week and every month. That's why this happened, because of you. Oh, and Erica, I'm sorry, your time is
I know, man.
Over.
No, okay. I didn't have my notes. And we will also have some child care available. There's a couple of teenage girls in the ministry, in the church here, that are going to be helping out with child care. So we'll have more details about that later. And the other thing is we are starting at 6, only because we're going to go from 6 to 6:30 and kind of have some fellowship, maybe some snacks and some food, and then we'll begin the Bible study at 6:30. So, you know, from 6 to 6:30, it's a little bit of flex there.
Okay. You get a, I think just a workbook, right? The workbook and the teachings. Right?
Yeah, it's just one workbook. Yeah. That is just a picture of the whole the whole bundle. But
that's just
you
what
will
I got
just
off
have
the
one
internet.
Workbook. Okay. Yes. It will be right here. Yeah.
That usually costs extra, but for you guys, for you ladies, we're letting it happen. All right. So also men's Bible studies. You know what? That really helps me to remember. I always forget. So the guys are odd. We do the men's Bible study on the 1st and 3rd. That's going to help me forever. Right now, we are going through the book of Ephesians. Stanley's raising his hand saying, yes, we are definitely odd. And it's been a great study. Last week was on marriage. So if you guys, if you weren't there, you should be getting a little elbow from your wife right now saying, you should have been there. But it was a great study. And so, Stanley, did you have something you wanted to say? That's a great. And that should be directed all towards Gary right there. Take all those questions right to him. Okay, we also have the Whosoever's Youth Group, okay? And so before I forget, here's for when you're done. Right now they're going through A Case for Christ. You guys have heard that from Lee Strobel. They're doing that with the youth, and that's going to be Wednesday, 6:30 to 8:30. Here's two things. Here's the purity teaching. We'll send out notes to everybody before we start the purity teaching. That'll be later, but just for you and Amanda Panda. And this is something you'll definitely need for the youth. It's a boat horn. I figure that could, if they're not listening, that might be a little tested out before you. I don't know how loud it is, so. Not right now. I mean, with the kids. Okay, so that's Wednesday. So we'll see you at 6:30, 8:30 with Josh and Amanda Panda. Thursday, we're going through Francis Chan's studies, Forgotten God. It was amazing. We actually had one of the youth, Nehemiah, came out, and it was his first time attending one of these Bible studies, and he's like, I loved it. And he went home, and he read through chapter 1. He's like, I'm reading chapter 2 and chapter 3 now. Can I go ahead, you know, and read more? And so if you still want to do that, come see me or Gary. We still have some more books here that we'll give you. Free as a gift in Jesus' name, and we would just encourage you to take it. You'll have to read about 3 chapters, and that's Thursdays from 6:30 to 8. And Experiencing God course, people have been asking, hello. Okay, that was weird.
What has happened?
I've lost all control. I don't even know what's happening right now. Okay, all right. So Experiencing God, we're gonna do that probably over the summer. And we're going to wait for Gary to get back from his trip. And so, Gary, just come up here since we're... Oh, thanks, George. Boy, you're good. I don't know why that's... Yeah, I still don't know why that's happening. That must be the announcement one. For some reason, that's in there. Why are you up here? That's a great question, Gary. Come here. So I thought we would just take a minute and we would just pray for Gary, him and his wife. Mary Kay, can we have you? I know you really hate, but would you mind? Yeah, you better be up here too. You're spending extra time with Gary. We need to really lay hands on you both. But it's a pretty amazing thing that they're going to Israel a little bit early because they wanted to spend 2 weeks in Israel alone. And so they're going there, and part of it, they just want to draw nearer to the Lord, but also they're going to be bringing back stuff God's going to put in their hearts and in their minds, but also they're going to be able to bring back things for you. And when I say bring back things for you, I don't mean like money and things. I mean they're going to bring back, you know, they're going to bring back what God has given them and to share. When you see, when you get to go to Israel, when you see the difference between what we're studying on a piece of paper and you see and touch history, archaeology for yourself, it brings it all to life in a way that's wonderful. And so anyway, we just want to pray for you. But is there anything that you guys would like to say before you leave? I want to leave that up to you guys. No pressure. Okay. No prayer. Okay. Prayer thingies or anything. Yes. Oh, now there is all of a sudden.
Well, I have a mic in my hand. What am I going to do, Pastor? Now, last Sunday, Mary Kate mentioned that we will be going to the Western Wall, and it's traditional for people to put prayer requests in the cracks of the wall, and so we'll take those along. But, Pastor, should we talk?
Whatever you want.
Pastor and I, you know, you guys that know me know that, you know, I'll pray at the drop of a hat. In that, because I want to be in constant communication with the Lord. So I asked myself, well, Pastor, you know, in some ways, this is pretty Old Testamently to put a piece of paper in the wall. I don't want to, you know, I don't ever want to mislead anybody here that that's the appropriate way to talk to the Lord today, and that you can't. And why don't you tell them what you told me about the history of why they do that?
Okay. It's just for them, for the Jewish people, it's just a point of contact for their faith in their minds. You know, in the Old Testament days, you know, the Lord used to dwell in the tabernacle, right, in the desert. And then he dwelt in the temple, right, that they built. And since that's been pretty much demolished, that's the retaining wall. So that's as close as they can get to where the temple used to be before it was destroyed in 70 AD. So to them, because they don't know about the Lord, living God, living in our hearts, that's as close as they feel like they can get to God. Now, if it means something special to you, and that's a point of contact for your faith, and you would like to do that, they are absolutely happy to do that. And it's a beautiful thing. But we just want you to know that the Lord no longer dwells in temple made by human hands. He dwells in our hearts by faith. He is a living God. He is alive. Does that make sense? So, yeah, but I think that's awesome that you guys are willing to do that. And I just want to, can we pray for them? Is that okay? Yeah, come here, guys, right in the middle here, and I want to put my hands on both of you. Lord, I thank you for this couple, Lord, who serves so faithfully, Lord, Gary in front of people and Mary Kate behind the scenes, Lord, just serving this body so wonderfully, Lord. Thank you for them, Lord. I pray, Lord, that you'd help, you'd take care of everything, Lord, from the littlest situations, Lord, from plane situations to luggage situations, transportation, hand sanitizer situation, whatever you need to do, Lord, you'd work everything out, Lord. And I pray you'd help them to focus, Lord, on you, that you would personally show them things, Lord, bring it to life in a way that they've maybe even never experienced, Lord, seeing it with their own eyes, the places, the things, the history, the just so unbelievable, Lord. I pray that you'd bless them spiritually, Lord, their hearts, their minds, relieve any fears. And, Lord, let there just be anticipation and excitement in Jesus' name for what you want to do. We pray for their safety. We pray for their protection. We pray for their blessing. But most of all, Lord, we pray for your presence to teach them and to train them while they're away, Lord God. We love them, and we ask you to bless them and take care of them on this trip. In Jesus Christ's name, and all God's people said, amen. 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 Great job. You're welcome. We love you both. And also, if you guys missed out, I'm going to do one more thing. Gary doesn't know I'm going to do this, but I'm going to do this. Chris, come up here. You're not in trouble. Gary did a teaching last week on faith. No, he did not. I lied right there. He didn't do a teaching on faith. I'm going to do a teaching on faith if we ever get there. Gary did a teaching on forgiveness. last week that I thought was excellent. Most times people skip certain sections of that. And if you were here last week, the Holy Spirit was present here. And I'm telling you, in a powerful way, God was using. I think actually that was the most, that was the best message, Gary, I think I've ever heard you teach. Or at least one of the best, I'll say that. And God was using it. If there was anything that even Gary left out, the folks in the audience, God spoke through them to make up everything that was missing. And so what an amazing teaching, what a complete teaching, what an accurate teaching right to the heart. And so I had George make some copies. And if you would raise your hand, Chris will deliver one right to you. And I just want you to just receive it as a gift and listen to it. And then I want you to give it away. Yes. Okay. Okay, security meeting after for Anthony. Okay. So raise your hand if you missed that. If you wouldn't mind one for family just to make sure we have enough. And if there is not enough, somebody tell me. And then what we'll do is I will make some more. Actually, that's not true. I will have George make some more. It is also on the website, homefellowshipchurch.com. And where's lovely Natalie? Natalie, you look very snuggly, cozy there. Would you mind maybe, I don't even know, can you put that on Facebook? I don't know anything about Facebook. Okay. Would you mind putting that message on forgiveness? Would you do that? Okay, great. You're amazing. I don't care what your mom says. I think you're fantastic. No, I'm just kidding. All right. Okay, so got some more back there. Seven more. Love it. All right. Come, hey, that's a way to get you to come back next week. So actually, George, make another dozen. We'll give them away. All right. Yes, Miss Neely. Yes, it can be downloaded from the website as well. Yes. If you do. Right click. Okay. All right. So. All right. There we go. Now we're back. Hey, George, do we have that video or no? Okay, so I told you I was going to tell you the story about what happened on our trip. I'm going to prolong that for 1 week because we forgot the video. My wife is actually sick today, so she is not here, and we accidentally deleted it off of the computer, so we'll do that next week, so you have to wait. Now, with that being said, let's get to James. Open your Bibles, the book of James. The 50 caliber of the New Testament, packed with command imperatives for us as Christians. If you need a Bible, jump. Jojo, Elijah, would you grab a few of these Bibles right here? If you need a Bible, raise your hand. One will be brought to you, and you can use it. Sorry, there's so many things to try to remember. Chris, I'm going to borrow you for something else. Come here. Also, while we're opening to James, there's a sports camp that we're having here at the school. It's July 22nd to the 26th. It's with a five-day club. It's an all-day thing from like 9 to about, oh, thanks. I'll give you that. It's from 9 o'clock till, let me see. It's a sports camp, and then it's a five-day club afterwards from 9 in the morning till 3. That entire week, it's like 85 smackaroonies or early bird registration, 75 smackaroonies. It's an all-day thing, all week long camp here. There's going to be volleyball, football, dodgeball, wiffle ball, noodle ball, frisbee. The gospel is going to be shared every day. Invite friends, neighbors. What are the ages? How about I have my wife share that next week? I want to know what noodle ball is too. I don't use a noodle to what? You don't know. You just made that up. All right. Google. I don't know if that's a great idea. Anyway, James. We are in James chapter 2. All right. We are in verse 14. We are cruising through the book of James, verse by verse. We want you to understand the word of God in context so nobody can come along and say, oh, this scripture means that. We want you to know what it means for yourself. We are in James chapter 2. Okay. We're starting in verse 14. And we're going to make it through the end of the chapter, Lord willing. All right? And then next week. Let me tell you something. You're going to want to miss next week. Don't miss next week. Next week, we're going to talk about taming the tongue. So you're going to find that you're going to get in some argument. You're going to get in some fight. The dog is going to poop on the floor that morning. You're going to have a leaky pipe. Something's going to happen. I'm just not going to go to that. You know what? Don't listen to that. Get out here. Come and listen to what the Lord has to say. All right? So this week, we're talking about faith in James chapter 2, verses 14. You know, there's been a lot of discussion on these chapters. And honestly, even I have to tell you, just be honest, some fights about it, if I can be honest. And the reason why is it's all about faith. You just got to have faith. Faith. And it's all about, no, you got to have works. You got to be doing what the Lord. And these different camps, and they fight. And they fight about it. Can I tell you something? Even to the point where early on in Martin Luther's walk with the Lord, he thought that James should be, I think his quote was, he's a German, you know, so he said, thrown into the river Rhine, because he thought it was too works-oriented, too legalistic. And later he came to understand that it's not faith or works, it's that they work together. It's faith that works. Does that make sense? It's faith that produces works in our lives. They go hand in hand. Okay? So that's what we're going to look at right now. But faith is important. I'll start with this. So James chapter 2, 14 to 26. I'm going to read it first, and then we'll go through it together. I'll ask you some questions, and then we'll go through it verse by verse. So James chapter 2, it's in the back of your Bible, near Revelation and stuff. And verse 14 to 25. Starts out, it says, faith in deeds. What good, starting in verse 14, what good is it, my brothers, if a man claims to have faith but has no deeds? Can such faith save him? Suppose a brother or sister is without clothes and daily food. If one of you says to him, go, I wish you well, keep warm and well fed, but does nothing about his physical needs, what good is that? In the same way, faith by itself, if it's not accompanied by actions, is dead. But some will say, I have faith, I have deeds. Show me your faith without deeds, and I will show you my faith by what I do. Verse 19 says, you believe there is one God? Good. Even demons believe that, and they shudder. Verse 20 says, you foolish man, do you want evidence that faith without deeds is useless? Was not our ancestor Abraham considered righteous for what he did when he offered his son Isaac on the altar? You see that his faith and his actions were working together, and his faith was made complete by what he did. Verse 23, and the scripture was fulfilled that says, Abraham believed God, and it was credited to him as righteousness, and he was called God's friend. You see that a person is justified by what he does and not by faith alone. In the same way, not even Rahab the prostitute considered righteous for what she did when she gave lodging to the spies and sent them off in a different direction. As a body without the spirit is dead, so faith without deeds is dead. Lord, we just pray for your anointing on your word today, Lord God, that it would not return void, that it would accomplish the purpose you set it out. Lord, we ask you would cleanse minds, Lord, of any preconceived notions or whatever. Just help us to read your word, and we ask that you, by your Holy Spirit, would teach us, Lord God. So speak through me, Lord, speak through us, Lord God, and give us understanding hearts and minds to receive whatever it is you have for us. We ask this in the name of Jesus, our Lord and Savior. Amen. 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 So, okay. So let me ask you a couple questions, okay, when we're talking about faith here. Question number one, and who has the microphone? Okay, so if you're going to have to look around. How would you personally define faith? Think about it for a minute, okay? If you're here as a believer, how do you define faith to people? Somebody, how do you define faith? Think about that. I'll just stand here. How would you, it's not quite as easy, is it? Right, okay, oh, a couple.
Belief in something that you can't see, touch, or feel, but okay. You know you believe it.
Okay.
Trust, having trust in him, like actually know he's there and trusting in him whether times are good or bad.
Okay, good. Okay, both of you, good. Okay, some back there. And thank you guys for speaking. That's kind of a scary thing.
Faith is a substance of things hoped for. The evidence of things not seen.
Okay.
That's God. That's how God defines it.
That's how God defines it. But I didn't ask that.
Well, that's how I define it, too.
Okay. How do you personally define it? I think some of those are good. Let me ask you another question, then, if I can. Oh, there was another one? All right, we'll do it. Go ahead, Andy. How do you define faith?
Personally. Faith to me is not letting my human instincts take charge, always letting the Lord's take charge. Well, okay.
Good. Yeah, that's good. Great.
Just knowing.
I didn't know if that was a glasses straightening or if that's okay. Now we got another one. That was good. Oh, you have one too? Go ahead.
Just knowing beyond a shadow of a doubt.
Confidence, knowing beyond a
just
shadow.
Knowing. Of a doubt. Just knowing. Just knowing.
Good, 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 good. Love it. Keep going. There's no, well, I shouldn't say there's no wrong answer. But you're all doing great. Okay.
To me, faith is knowing that everything will be all right.
Okay.
It's going to be all right.
Okay. Good. What else? Anybody else? Someone over here? Over there? Oh, right back there.
Faith to me is believing in a higher being that I cannot see and cannot touch,
okay,
that I know is truth.
Okay. Okay. And then we'll hit the next question. Oh, go ahead. Sorry.
Oh, excuse me. Faith is just seeing the supernatural done repeatedly over and over, and especially people you would never think that would turn towards the Lord, to see them praising them and just seeing constant change in people because of the Lord. How can you not have faith when you see it with your own eyes? You know, they say don't touch it, feel it, or whatever, but when you actually see it, and then you feel it, you know, that's faith. That's
okay.
Thank you.
Go ahead.
I try and explain it to kids based on, can you see the wind? No, I can't see it. Well, how do you know? How do you have, we'll use the word faith, but I try and just say, well, how do you know the wind is there? Maybe I can see it in the trees. I can feel it on my skin, but I can't see it. Okay? But I know it's there.
Okay? And how important is faith to you, really? Then that would be my next question. How important is faith to you, really? That's what I'm asking. Well, let's have raise hands. Soph can go ahead.
Pastor Dave, my define of faith.
Sorry, it's too late now. Go ahead.
Is never giving up your hope. To keep on going.
Okay.
And know that he's really there.
Okay.
Okay, so we exercise faith on a daily basis. When you come to a green light, you're trusting that the people on the red light are going to stop. So how I see it, you're trusting that what's supposed to happen is going to happen. And when it comes to faith unto the Lord, I am trusting that what he said in his word is true, that I cannot earn salvation, but he has for me. He has died for my sins, and that he is coming back one day, and he's taking me home. And that's how why it's important to me. If without faith, then my life as a Christian is worthless.
Okay, good. So your faith isn't just in faith. Your faith is in a person. It's in the Lord. Okay, good. What else? How important is faith to you, really? Go ahead. Yes, Martha. You want to... Yeah, sure. Okay.
Faith is what keeps you going in hard times, knowing and believing that it's going to be taken care of, and that's what keeps you going, the faith that it's going to be taken care of.
Okay. Okay. And is faith really important to you? Is it really? Go ahead.
Well, I was thinking, without faith, literally, there's my walk as a Christian is pointless. So it's vital. As a Christian, faith is completely vital.
I would agree with you. If you're wondering, yeah, I'd say it's
I love the traffic analogy of the red light, green light. I actually whispered that to Erica just before Neely said that.
Oh, sure. So now you want the credit.
Yeah,
Neely got
so
it.
We're both. It hit me. I was like, oh my goodness, that's so awesome. That the thing is that it does not take faith to stop moving, but it does take faith to keep moving on.
Yeah.
And that's what our life is.
Yes.
Is that keep moving on.
Right.
Keep believing that God has the green for us. God has the go for us.
Yeah.
Because it's when we don't have that faith, that's when we stop.
Right. We can put our faith in anything. I sat down in this chair. Now, let me tell you, I had faith it was going to hold me. But that's not going to save me. And that's not going to get me through the difficult times. That's not going to get me to heaven. That's not going to bring me peace. Do you see what I'm saying? My faith is in the Lord. And that's where my rest and that's where my hope comes from. That's where my peace comes from. Does that make sense, guys? I have a third question, but by now I forgot what it is. Oh, yeah. And so what does it look like? What does real faith look like as a Christian in real life? What does it look like practically? What does real faith look like practically to others? What does it look like?
There's a glow. Okay.
So physical glow, I look around, I see people like radiating.
No.
Okay.
It comes from within.
I see.
There's a glow.
Okay.
Okay, and by that glow is your sharing of the faith. It's people looking at you and saying, I want what you have. Okay? True faith. True faith is a glow.
Okay. Thank you. Okay, good. Some more hands up there. Good. Yeah.
To me, it looks like an ocean. Sometimes the waves are really strong and surging and white caps and huge, and other times it's calm and deliciously beautiful. And it changes a lot, but it's always there. This is coming from somewhere inside of me. I don't know where.
That's great.
But anyway, that's what I came up with.
That's great. I appreciate you sharing.
That was basically what we're going to go over today. I believe the fruit of faith is works.
Okay, good. I think, you know, when I think about this, I think it looks like a changed life. Now listen, now when I told you that God did multiple miracles when we were on this last trip with the kids, and I'll share more about that last week, but do you know the biggest miracle that I've ever witnessed in my life is a changed heart, is a changed life, it's a changed direction. It's a person who used to be this, and now I'm this. I used to go this way, but now I go this way. That is what true faith does. True faith changes us from the inside out, right? Not because we cleaned ourselves up, right? Or we're going to do it just perfectly religious. Some of us have done that, right? And it falls flat. Punk. You can keep it up for a while, and then let me tell you, you're a miserable. True faith changes from the inside out. All right. So here, what we're going to see, here's a couple of quotes. These are from some Christians. And I'll just go real quickly. Okay, we are going to get through this few verses. Okay, this is one thing I want you to know. Okay, this is me, and I don't know if it's the right, like I was trying to think how to word it. Because I hear so many things, well, faith is just, anyway. Faith is not the confidence to speak into existence what I want. And I hear that from a lot of big mega churches today. Okay, that's not faith. Faith isn't me saying, okay, here's my wallet. Now, that's funny. I have $6 and a track. Faith is not me taking this wallet, and I've heard many big preachers, be filled, wallet. You have lots of money in there. I believe it, $1 million in there right now. Speak it. Now, some people actually, I'm not kidding you, that's what they believe. They speaking it, what it's not speaking into existence what I want. See, true faith is the, here's what I have. Faith is not the confidence to speak into existence what I want. Faith is the confidence to believe, trust, and obey whatever he wants. It's a total different attitude. It's a total different heart attitude. It's not a little thing. It's a big thing. Does that make sense to you guys? It is crucial. And the other folks, who doesn't want to, I'm a incredibly handsome man, and I'm thin. I believe it. You know what I'm saying? Listen. It's not what I want. It's what he wants. See, that's where true faith comes in. It's light years difference. True faith is going to believe and trust whatever he wants. And honestly, living a life of faith usually means that I have to deny myself what I want, what my flesh wants, and do what God wants. See, that's true faith. That goes against your fleshly nature. Does that make sense, guys? Listen. Oh. Here's some other quotes, okay? And if I didn't say that right, you can correct me, but that's just... Well, what about suffering? And what about... Listen, this is what Randy Alcorn, he wrote a lot of Christian books. He says, a nominal Christian often discovers in suffering that his faith has been in his church, his denomination, his family tradition, but not in Christ. As he or she faces evil and suffering, he may lose his faith. But that's actually a good thing. I have sympathy for people who lose their faith, but any faith lost in suffering wasn't a faith worth keeping. Does that make sense? That's a strong thing. A lot of people, I want to follow Jesus until things get difficult. We need to follow him through trials, tribulations. All the disciples, were they just whisked up to heaven? What happened to them? You remember the stories? I mean, some were crucified. Prophets saw it in Acts. Holy schmolies. Listen to some of these. Now, like Swindoll says it, the beautiful thing about this adventure called faith is that we can count on him never to leave us astray. See, our trust is in the person. Okay, I lost my Bible. Now, this is very difficult for me. So you guys can pray about that. It's everything God has spoken to me, every teaching I've done for 25 years. If you guys seen my Bible, there's writing in every single nook and cranny. Now, it's gone. Now, that's devastating for me. Other than losing my kids or wife or something, that I can't think of anything worse. No. God has given me a peace about it, and here's the reason why. Okay? Because I trust him. Now, I've prayed about it. I've left my Bible in Uganda somewhere at a school, gone back into the city, and somebody found it, walked it an entire day back into the city of Kampala somehow to give it to me. Now, my wife has set her Bible on top of the car. Drove everywhere, right? It's gone. And you know what happened? What's his name? Rudy. You know Rudy. Rudy finds, he's graded our property back here. He found it. Just happened to be him. He found it somewhere in the middle of Bradenton. Grabbed it, looked. Oh, Lisa Schellebauer. I know her. She lives right down the road down here. Come and brought it. So I know God can bring it back, but I'm trusting in him. Now, I wanted to give that to my kids, and I may still find it. I'm praying for it, so please pray that I do. But I'm trusting him. Maybe he knows better. Maybe I was getting, I know exactly where every verse is. I know the page, the underline. I can zing, zang, zoom. It's no problem, no sweat. Maybe the Lord wants me to look at his word with fresh eyes. Maybe he wants me to put forth a lot more effort. Maybe I was getting a little lazy. I don't know. But I trust him. Does that make sense? Oh, sorry. Yes.
Statement about the faith. You know, I'm a newbie in walking with God, and it's just absolutely, I hate using the word awesome because I know there's a better word out there.
You're in awe. It's awesome.
But the faith, you know, you and I had discussed it, and Gary and I did. You know, sometimes I wondered if I ever had enough faith. But as my walk with God and the problems that I'm having, the more faith I have in him, no matter how discouraged, how scared I get, how lost I feel, how, you know, just all that kind of stuff builds up, the more faith that I have, and God has just blessed me. Y'all, God has blessed me, especially this week and a half. Like, if I don't know that there's God and I don't have faith, I might as well just leave this church and never come back.
Yeah.
But for the past, I mean, there's nothing in this world that I cannot do without that, with God not walking beside me. And he's there all the time.
Amen.
And how I ever, ever have made it this far without that, I don't know. Thank God he didn't give up on
Amen.
Me.
Amen. That's
and
right.
And he still hasn't.
Amen. Listen to this quote. I like this. Philip Yancey says, faith means trusting in advance what will only make sense in reverse. That was a good one, wasn't it? Here's a few more, okay? And listen, when we go, God often reinforces our faith after we trust him, not before. That's how our faith grows. That's Ravi Zacharias. Ann Graham Blott says, faith is like a tender plant rooted in Christ alone, watered by the Spirit and the Word, strengthened by the winds of adversity and the sunshines of blessing. Like that. Martin Luther said, faith is a living and unshakable confidence. Somebody said that. I like that one. A.W. Tozer, love this. Faith, as Paul saw it, was a living, flaming fire. It was a living, flaming thing leading to surrender and obedience to the commandments of Christ. I love that too. Faith tells me no matter what lies ahead of me, God is already there. And here's the last, I think these are the last two. Martin Luther King Jr. said, faith is taking the first step even when you don't see the whole staircase. I like that. But probably my favorite, this is good too. What is faith? Faith is to hear. Faith comes by hearing, hearing by the word of God, to believe and to obey the word of God. That is faith. And I think this is the last one. This is my favorite, I think, Oswald Chambers. Faith never knows where it is being led, but it loves and knows the one who is leading. That is. Now listen. Now how the Bible describes it and how Mark describes it is correct. Hebrews chapter 11 says, Hebrews chapter 11 verse 1 says, faith is the confidence, the assurance in what we hope for, and the assurance about what we do not see. Sometimes we can't see things clearly, just like this little, right? We can't see it in the circumstance right then, but we're going to trust in the one that he's going to work all things to the good. All things to the good. For those who love him, his timing is perfect. How many times have we tried to rush it? Have you ever tried to rush a job and it's fall flat on your face? Have you ever tried to rush a relationship and fall flat on your face? Have you ever tried to rush with finances and you fall flat on your face? Listen, you can trust him with all these things. This is how the Bible defines it, all right? And faith is important. In fact, in Hebrews 11:6, for you experiencing God people, it says, without faith, it is impossible to please God. Because anyone who believes him, Anyone, excuse me, because anyone who comes to him must believe that he exists, and he rewards those that earnestly seek him. We have to trust in him. Trust in his word. Even our whole walk, it says we walk by faith and not by sight. That means we trust in his word step by step as we go in our life, in our walk. That's why in Hebrews, oh, I don't have that scripture on here, but it's Hebrews chapter 12, verses, I think, either 1, 2, or 3, 1 or 2. It says, keep your eyes fixed on Jesus because he is the author and perfecter of our faith, or the author and finisher. You guys, how many of you guys read? Okay. You start at the beginning, right? It's the author, he starts the book, and then at the very end, he finishes it, right? That's what he's doing with you by faith. He's got you from beginning to end. He has you. He who began, if you really are saved, it says he who began a good work in you is faithful to complete it until the day of Christ Jesus. And, of course, Matthew 17:20, faith can even move mountains. And lastly, Galatians 5:6 says the only thing that counts as a Christian is faith expressing itself through love, through actions. That's Galatians 5:6. Now, I want to make sure that everybody understands as we're reading this, these scripture verses where it talks about faith and works, what the Bible says. So everybody knows and understands we are saved, right? Ephesians chapter 2, verses 8 through 9 says, it is by grace that we have been saved through faith. This is not of yourself, it is a gift of God, and it's not of works, so that no one can boast. So when you get saved not by being a good person or going to church or any of this stuff. You get saved by receiving the free gift of eternal life from Jesus Christ. He does the work. He comes to live inside you, helps you to live for him, and empowers you to do so, right? Does that make sense? So we're saved by faith. But then it says, right after that, the very next verse, for we are his workmanship, his poem. He's working on us, right? His sculpture, created in Christ Jesus. And what does it say right here? What? For good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. Listen, God's prepared these works for you beforehand. So if you get saved, he's got the works lined up. You're going to be doing what God has. That's what he does. That's who he is. So works are going to be the natural result of a saved life. All right? I think it was Martin Luther said this one. I'll give it to you. We are saved by faith alone, but the faith that saves is never alone. Isn't that deep? Woo! See? Olivia.
Okay. So,
Okay.
Recently, the Lord has kind of been talking to me about faith, actually, and the importance of putting faith in Jesus and not in the situation, because, like, I was putting faith in, like, the outcome of a situation and not in Jesus. So just, like, because, like, when people say, just have faith, I'm like, okay, I have faith that this is going to happen, but it's just putting it in Jesus.
Bingo! So, yeah. Yes. The circumstances may not always turn out just the way you want it, or even as a Christian, how you expect it. But you're trusting in the one that you know and love, that he's going to work it somehow to good. You can trust him in it. Amen? Very good. Very deep. All right, so here's what we got. You're going to see the first thing we see right here in the Bible, in your scripture right here, in verse 14, is we see a dead faith. Okay, if you look in your Bibles, James chapter 2, 14, it says, what good is it, my brother, if a man claims to have faith but has no deeds? Can such faith save him? Or the way it's read in the Greek, it says, can that kind of faith save him? The answer is, you're like, no. Verse 15 says, suppose a brother or sister goes without clothes or daily food. If one of you says to him, go, I wish you well, keep warm and well fed, but does nothing about his physical needs, what good is it? In the same way, faith by itself, if it's not accompanied by action, is dead. So here's the first kind of faith. It's a dead faith. And that verse 14, you know what it says? Hey, what good is it if a man claims? That word in the Greek is ophelios, and it means what benefit is it? What gain is it? What profit is it? What advantage is it? Okay? To say you have faith but no deeds. And at the end of verse 16, what good is it? It's no good. If you say you have faith but there's no actions, there's nothing coming out of your life, you don't start talking differently, thinking differently, living differently, that's not a real... I have to say, I call your faith into question. I'm not judging you, but I am called to be a fruit inspector. We'll get to that in a minute. It says in that same way, verse 17, faith by itself, if not accompanied by actions, is dead. And that word... that word dead is nekros in the Greek. And here's what I did. I examined it. It's written 132 times in the Bible. 132 times. Nekros. Faith without actions is dead. And you know what I found out it means? Very different. You know what it means? It means dead. That's all it means. Lifeless. No life in it. Now listen, I don't want to be morbid here. Okay? But if you have ever seen a dead body, I've seen too many now, to be honest. I've seen too many now. Now that I'm getting older, I don't like it. The worst was probably when I had to see my mom. My mom died. Okay, I'm an Italian mama's boy. Okay, so I love my mama, my Italian mama, right? So when she died, they asked to come in, and I think the Lord allowed me to see it. For one way, I wish I didn't see it. But the other way, I'm glad that I did. Because what I saw in that body, right, was a spacesuit. A spacesuit. You ever see those like in a moonwalk? Do you know what I'm saying? Like you see the spacesuits they wear? That's what that body was. There was no life in it. That was a shell. The spirit, the soul, whatever you want to call that, was gone. There was no life in it. Faith without actions in a changed heart, changed life is just like that. It's dead. There's no life in it. That was not my mom. I mean, it looked like her, but it was not my mom. Do you hear what I'm saying? In that same way, you want to say you have faith, oh, faith, 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 but you're going to live the same way you've always lived, do the same thing you've always done. That's not faith. That's dead. Now, God might be getting stuff out of you. You've just got to, you know, we mature and grow, but you're going to see a change. Listen, the first faith we see in verse 14 to 17 is that dead faith. And listen, it says in James, hey, if somebody says, you can have an intellectual faith. Do you know what I'm saying? How many people, oh, they love to tell you what they know, right? You could have all the scripture verses memorized. The Pharisees and the Sadducees in Jesus' time, they had the first five books memorized. Many of them. And he said to them, you look at the scriptures because you think that in them they have eternal life, but they are what testify about me. They missed it. So we can have a dead faith. We can say. Nobody probably remembers that, Michael Jackson. Anyway, James 1:22 says, you know what? God says, I want you to be doers of the word and not just hearers only, deceiving yourself. You can deceive yourself. You can praise and jump and do whatever you want to do. Wear a Christian shirt. You can have a bumper sticker. You can go to church every day. I went to church for 30 years. I wasn't saved. I got baptized. I got confirmed. I got whatever, religious study classes. I was not a Christian. You could come to church, youth group, sit here, Bible study, Cracker Barrel thing, and you're on your way to hell. I was. So don't deceive yourself. Don't just be a hearer. I heard it all the time, but I wasn't a doer. Listen, Jesus even said in Matthew 7:21-23, he said, not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, shall enter the kingdom of heaven, but he who does the will of my Father. Many will say on that day, Lord, Lord, and he goes into doing prophesy, blah, 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 blah. And he goes at the very end here, he will declare, I never knew you, depart from me, you who practice lawlessness. It goes on to say, you guys remember this story, Jesus gave an example. He said, listen, we need to put these things into practice. It's not the one that hears, but the ones that obeys. That's the one who loves me. That's what Jesus said. He said, he gave a little parable about the wise and foolish builders in Matthew 7, 24 and 25. And he said, everyone who hears these words of mine and puts them into practice is like a wise man who built a house on the rock. That's the rock of Christ Jesus. The rains came down, the streams rose, the winds blew and beat against the house, yet it didn't fall because it had its foundation on the rock. But everyone who hears these words of mine and does not put them into practice, he's like a foolish man who built his house on the sand. The rains came down, the streams rose, the winds blew and beat against that house, and it fell with a great crash. I mean, imagine, we give bread out, right? And if you don't take any of the bread, we give a few loaves to some of the homeless, right? Now imagine if we pulled up with a bunch of bread, okay, and I don't know who's here, Elijah. Me and Elijah are in the car, and we're eating a loaf of bread. We're chowing down on it, right? And we drive up to the homeless people, and we say, oh, we have this big bag of bread, right? Loaves sticking out. We have some bread. Oh, that's so great. I'm so excited. We got our Christian bumper sticker. Elijah has his, you know, Team Jesus shirt. Woot, woot, right? And he's like, oh. We say, are you hungry? Oh, you have no idea how hungry I am. I am so hungry. We are so hungry right now. I see you have that bag of bread. Yes, we've got a whole bag of bread right here. And we just say, be blessed, brother. Be warm and fed. Take care now. Bye-bye then. What do you think they're thinking? So, God, what are they thinking? Yeah, who are you? What? Right. Is that showing Christ to anybody? In that same way, he's saying that faith without actions is going to be dead. 1 John 3:17 says, if anyone has the world's goods and sees his brother in need, yet closes his heart, how does God's love abide in him? You know, they say you could tell a lot by a person by their wallet. What? By their wallet? Yeah, how much do you give? Now, I don't know how much anybody gives, so you don't have to worry about that. You could never give to this church any of the mission. I will never know. You can sneak in and out of here. I will never know. Do you know who knows? God knows. He knows what you give. Now, let me tell you, me giving out money, I'm not trusting in him when I do that, right? I could say it's just for the rich people. Or I could say, like Jesus, do you remember that woman who gave all? She just gave a penny. Says she gave all she had. And Jesus said she gave more than everybody else because she gave all she had. Jesus didn't say, hey, widow, speak to your penny. There's a million of you. No, put it in there. Well, listen to this. Little children, this is 1 John 3:18. Let us not love in words or in speech, but in actions and in truth. Does that make sense? Okay. The second kind of faith we see in this passage, first is a dead faith. Second is a demonic faith. A demonic faith? Yes. Listen to this. I'm going to read to you verses 17 and 18. Okay? Or maybe it's 18 and 19. I'll look about it. What do I have on there? Yeah, 18, 19. It says, but someone will say to you, you have faith, I have deeds. Show me your faith without deeds, and I will show you my faith by what I do. You believe that there is one God. And that word believe right here is the same word that's in John 3:16. For God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten Son, and whoever believes in him would not perish but have everlasting life. So you believe there's one God? Good. Even demons believe that and shudder. Listen, demons aren't atheists. They believe. Listen, go to Mark. Matthew, Mark, Luke, John. Everybody turn there real quickly with me. Go to Mark chapter 1. In the New Testament, Matthew, Mark, Luke, John. Ready? Listen to this. Matthew, Mark, Luke, John. So Mark chapter 1. I'm going to go verse 21. Mark chapter 1, verse 21. I want you to listen to this. Because I get this all the time. Oh, I believe in God. Oh, I believe in God. Yeah, so does Satan. So do demons. That's not really a great thing. I read a survey. 80 to 90% of Americans believe in God. Well, so does the devil. So that makes no difference to your salvation. Okay, so listen. Mark chapter 1, verse 21. They went to Capernaum, and you're going to see that, Gary, I think, on your trip, the village of Nahum. Okay, Peter lived there. You're going to see, actually, Gary, a synagogue that was there from the time of Jesus. The base of it was actually it's been a little built over a few centuries later, but you're going to actually see the base of that is actually the same synagogue where this happened. That is awesome. You see the basalt underneath. You'll see the difference if they don't tell you. It says, they went to Capernaum. And when the Sabbath came, Jesus went to the synagogue, that was their church at the time, and began to teach. The people were amazed at his teaching because he taught them as one who had authority, not as the teachers of the law. Verse 23 says, just then a man in their synagogue who was possessed by an evil spirit cried out. Imagine this, we're here worshiping at church, I'm teaching the Bible, and all of a sudden somebody says, what do you want with us, Jesus of Nazareth? Have you come to destroy us? I know who you are, the Holy One of God. Hello. That would wake up the church service. Anybody sleeping would be, hello. But listen to this. Here's what I want you to notice, and we'll read more in a second. Look at verse 24. What do you want with us, Jesus of Nazareth? Does this demon recognize Jesus? So it's possible to acknowledge and recognize Jesus, who Jesus is, and not be saved. Does that make sense, everybody? Look what it says next. Have you come to destroy us? Okay, what does that tell you? You're on the wrong side, it does. But what else does it tell you? They know his power. They recognize authority. It's even possible. I know about Jesus. I even recognize his power. I even recognize his authority over me. And not be saved. Do you see that? He goes on to say, I know who you are. How many times have you heard this? Oh, I know Jesus. I worship the same God as you do. And your life, you got to look at their lives and saying, holy schmoles. I used to say the same thing, so whom I'm not being judgmental. Okay, I used to say the same thing. Oh, I worship. My friend Mike Z got saved, right? Oh, I'm the good one. I grew up in the church. You don't have to tell me about the Bible. I know the story. I wasn't saved. I know God. I know his power. I know his authority. Whoop-de-doo. I was still on my way to hell. And so are you if you haven't given over your life to Jesus Christ. Well, thanks for inviting me to this church. But you know what? You're given truth here so that you can be saved. It goes on to say, I know who you are. You're the Holy One of God. That's He's right. In fact, he's got it correct. He's not an agnostic. He's not an atheist. He gets it right. And then Jesus says, be quiet, said Jesus sternly. Come out of them. Look at verse 26. It says, the devil, the evil spirit, shook the man violently and came out of him with a shriek. Ah! You just see it. The people were so amazed, they asked each other, what is this? A new teaching, and with authority, he even gives orders to evil spirits, and they obey him. News about him spread quickly over the whole region. So it's possible to even submit to Jesus' authority and not be saved. So what's the difference? Can you tell me? The demon submitted. So what's the difference? No. Oh, yeah, sort of, yes. Yes, go ahead. I can't hear you. Well, that's okay. Well, let me for time's sake, I'm going to, unless you have something you sure, I'm going to.
Okay.
Let me just share the difference. They submitted, but they didn't do so willingly. See, when you give over your life to Jesus, he's not going to make you submit. Do you know what I'm saying? You come to him on your own. He says, come to me, all you who are weary and heavy laden, and I'll give you rest for your souls. Take my yoke and learn from me. I'm gentle and humble in heart. You have to do that willingly. When God tells you something in his word, you have to willingly submit to it. He's not going to put you in a full Nelson. Submit! Now, he might have to discipline you sometimes. But we do so willingly. Does that make sense? So we see a dead faith. We see a demonic faith. So next time your uncle, you know, Stanley, or we have the same faith as you, you can tell them they have a demonic faith. No, don't do that. That will go over like a lead balloon. Don't do that. And the last thing we see here, in all honesty, we see a dead faith, we see a demonic faith, and then we see the last thing, which is a dynamic faith. And a dynamic faith just means it's living, it's alive, it's active. Listen, when you read the Bible, you hear all over from the Old Testament to the New Testament, a living faith, a living God. I don't serve a dead God. I serve a God who is alive in my heart. He gives me life. He gives me direction. He gives me breath. He gives me a purpose in my life. It's exciting being a Christian. If you are a Christian, this is an exciting, challenging life. It's amazing. Listen, it's a real, living, active faith that results in a changed life. Psalm 41, 1-2, as the deer pants for streams of water, so my soul parts thirsts for you, the living God. And even in the New Testament, Peter's profession of faith, you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. So it's going to result in a changed life. In other words, I was going in this direction in my thinking, in my ways, in my life, and I'm going to repent. Repent just means to have a change of mind, a change of heart, a change of direction. And I'm not going to go that way anymore. It means to turn around. That's a dynamic faith. It says, God's solid foundation stands firm, sealed with the inscription, the Lord knows those who are his. And everyone who confesses the name of the Lord, well, I confessed the Lord when I was 2, when I was 5, when I was 7, when I was 30. It says that everyone who confesses the name of the Lord must turn away from wickedness. Zoinks. Listen, back in that James, in that last section. Well, let me get finished with these real scriptures real quick. 1 John 3:9 says, no one born of God makes a practice of sinning. For God's seed abides in him. His Holy Spirit comes and lives inside of you when you get saved. And he can't keep sinning or making a practice of sin because he's been born of God. Listen, if you're a Christian and you're doing something wrong, you're being convicted. You will be a miserable person, unhappy, angry, frustrated, if you're saved. If you're not, you probably won't care. But if you're saved, you're going to be miserable. Because God's seed remains. His Holy Spirit is telling you, this is wrong. Stop it. You're hurting my God's heart. You're grieving the Holy Spirit of God. Listen, 2 Corinthians 13:5 says to examine yourself to see whether or not you're in the faith. If there's no change in your life, if there's no change in your attitude and your heart, then you know what? You may not be saved. I'm not attacking you. I'm just telling you. You need to get on your knees and say, Lord, I'm sorry. Will you please come into my heart? I know you died for my sins and rose again. I want to live for you. Would you empower me to live for you, Lord God? I need you. Help me, Lord. Save me. Matthew 7 says this. Now, I'll just read it to you. It takes me a little bit longer to find it because I don't have my Bible. But the Bible calls it the fruit of the Spirit because it's something that we see. Matthew chapter 7 says it like this. And I'll read it to you. This was on a Sermon on the Mount when Jesus was speaking. He said, he was telling them to watch out for false prophets and stuff. And then he said, in chapter 7, verse 16, he said, by their fruit you will recognize them. Do people pick grapes from thorn bushes or figs from thistles? Grape is a fruit. A fig is a fruit of the Holy Spirit. I'm not going to pick grapes from thorny bushes or thistles. You'll see it in Israel, Gary. Those thorns and those thistles are like that long. I'm not going to pick a fig from it. It's a different tree. He goes on to say this. Listen. It's important. He goes on to say this. Likewise, in verse 17, every good tree bears good fruit, but a bad tree bears bad fruit. A good tree cannot bear bad fruit, and a bad tree cannot bear good fruit. It says, every tree that does not bear good fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire. Thus, by your fruit will you recognize them. So I might not be able to judge, but I can kind of look at the fruit and say, I'm not sure. And so can you. Give me 2 more minutes, if you would. 2 more minutes. He says this back in James as I'm closing out. In this dynamic faith, verse 20, he says, you foolish man, you want evidence that faith without debt is useless? And he talks about Abraham. Abraham and Rahab. Abraham was the father of the faith and Rahab was a prostitute. One was a Jew, one was a Gentile. They're opposite ends of the spectrum, but you know what? They're all in the family of God. And this is why Abraham believed God and it was credited to him as righteousness. When he put Isaac on that altar on Mount Moriah, he had no idea when he was going to sacrifice his son, right? And it says God provided himself a lamb and he trusted God. And it was credited to him as righteousness, his works, his trust. Okay, God, you said I was going to have sons as many as the sand of the sea through him, but you're telling me to sacrifice him. I don't understand it. By faith, I'm going to do it. And God said, stop. But you know what the neat thing is? That was a picture, because Mount Moriah is the exact place where God sacrificed his only son, and he provided himself a lamb. That's the exact same spot where it happened. And Rahab trusted in the Lord. When the spies came in and Joshua, and they were going to take over, and God was giving them place, Rahab said, I've heard about your God. And when you take over the city, I'm trusting that God is with you and he's real. I'm going to tie a scarlet cord around my place. Please spare my family. That scarlet cord is just the blood of Jesus Christ. And by actions, by their faith resulting in actions, they were spared. So I want you to think about this. If you have a faith in Jesus Christ, people are going to read you. And this is what I want to leave you with. 2 Corinthians 3:2. Remember, it's not faith or works. It's faith that results in works. Does that make sense, guys? And it says this, you, Christian, you yourselves are our letter, written on our hearts, known and read by everyone. Sometimes people are not going to read this book. They're too stubborn, they're too lazy, whatever it is. But you know what they're going to read? You. You're the Bible that people are going to read. You're what people are going to see. Let them read the good news of Jesus Christ in your heart, in your actions. Does that make sense? Let's pray right now because we all need his help. Father God, Lord, I just pray in Jesus' name, Lord, that everyone knows here that we're all saved by grace through faith in Jesus Christ, but we're saved for good works, Lord God, and they go hand in hand. Will you help us, Lord? If you're convicting us of anything right now, Lord, a change, you would empower us to change it, Lord. Anything that would help us to be a better letter to other people, and people see us and they read us and our actions and our words, Lord, that they could read something good that they want, Lord, that they would, like somebody said earlier, see something different in us, read something different in our hearts and our life, Lord God. And want what we have. And then we can tell them, you know what? It's Jesus. Lord, I pray whatever, if there's anyone here now that isn't saved, Lord, that they wouldn't walk out of here feeling condemned, Lord. that they would just bow their knee and willingly say, I surrender my life to you, Lord, that I want to live for you from this day forward for the rest of my life, Lord. I give you my heart and my life as best as I know how, Lord God. Help me to live for you. Thank you for dying for my sins and rising again from the dead. Lord, help me from this day forward to live for you in Jesus' name. And if you've done that today, that you'll be saved. Lord, I pray that nobody would miss salvation because of the 18 inches from their head to their heart, Lord God. That no one here would just have an intellectual faith, but a heart change that knows you and loves you, believes in you, and willingly trusts and submits to you, Lord God. Don't let anyone leave this door without that embedded in their hearts and minds, whatever they choose. We pray your blessing on this group and all the Bible studies this week and all those wonderful kids out in children's ministry. Bless them in Jesus Christ's name, and all God's people said, amen, amen, and amen. God bless you guys. Have a great week in Jesus' name.